A minimum viable product is a new product or feature that you put out there just to test the market, to see if people like it, to see if they need it. It's not the fully finished developed product, but it's something that you're in the process of doing. You start with the MVP to kind of get a proof of concept, right? Before you go and build a whole clothing line, you want to have some samples of what people might want. Before you build a whole software platform, you want to have some features out there, maybe even a landing page to just show people what the basic of it is, so you can get feedback to see if people actually like it. You really reduce a lot of time wasted, a lot of money wasted, development wasted by figuring out what people want first. This is why MVPs are so valuable. So today we're going to talk about MVPs, minimum viable products, and how you can use them in your startup. What's up, people? I'm Chris. I'm a founder of my own company, Pod Central. Since I'm on this startup journey, I figured it'd be a great idea to talk about these key startup terms and put that content out there to help other founders that are on the same journey. So as I'm showing you this stuff, I'm also learning a lot about it myself. So during startup definitions, I'll be breaking down key terms and giving you a few examples along the way and kind of putting some of my personal experience in the conversation too. Now, if you enjoy this content, you'll definitely love our Spotlight Founder series, where I interview all kind of VCs and startup founders and other people that are way ahead of where I am, so I can learn myself, and I'm pretty sure you'll learn a lot too. Make sure you subscribe to the Startup Founder Roadmap wherever you listen to podcasts. What really helped me understand what MVP was looking at Dropbox. Dropbox, as you know it now, is a simple storage company in the cloud. Like, you want to save stuff, you can use Dropbox, you can share files and all of that stuff. Like, it's really an amazing product. It's so simple, but think about before we had Dropbox, we didn't really have anything like that where you could save stuff in the cloud and you really kind of have unlimited storage. But if you look at the history of Dropbox, their product was really complicated at first. It was really difficult. It was hard to use. And that's one of the downsides of a software product. If you're building a software product, you want it to be something that your ideal customers can pick up and use easily. So if you have competition that they're already using, switching over to your platform is going to make their life easier. If it's going to save them time or make them money, you want to make sure that that's something you highlight. That's one of the best ways to get your product out there. But in the beginning, Dropbox was really, really complicated. So their CEO, Drew, had to put the prototype of Dropbox together, and it was just too complicated. It was too complex. That's when they realized they had to kind of break things down a little more. And then Drew made a decision that I think really changed Dropbox forever. And this is really something that helped me on my journey as well, because I did this exact same strategy. He made a video of what Dropbox is, and it's a really short video. I'll play it right here.
And we'll be taking a quick tour of Dropbox, which is a better way of keeping your importance. Okay. My name's Drew, and we'll be taking a quick tour of Dropbox, which is a better way of keeping your important stuff synchronized across your PCs. And what makes Dropbox different is that it just works, meaning that there's no complicated setup or configuration. And if you're familiar with development tools, Dropbox is kind of like taking Subversion and rsync and making them easy to use. So here we'll walk through a concrete example. And so I just got a new laptop, and I've got some important files on my desktop that I like to keep synchronized across both machines. And to set up Dropbox, all you really have to do is install the application, which I did a moment ago, and then link it to an account. So I typed in my information there, and it brings me to this web interface where I can see recent changes to the files in my Dropbox, and I can actually get the files directly. So in addition to synchronizing files across PCs, Dropbox also securely backs them up and synchronizes them to the web, so you can click on any of these files and it does what you'd expect, in case you're not at one of your computers. And as far as the Windows interface, it looks like a normal Windows folder except for these green and blue icons indicating whether or not the file's up to date. And Dropbox is done pulling down all of my stuff. And an important idea behind Dropbox is that it fits into the way you already work and synchronizes your files continuously. So I can make a change to a document, so like this text document. And I'll hit save.
So as you can see, that simple video broke down. This is what Dropbox is. This is what it does. This is how you use it. Really simple, really short and straight to the point. And sometimes that's what an MVP is. It's not you having to go and build a landing page even. Sometimes it's a video. Sometimes it is building a prototype, a basic prototype that people can go and use. Sometimes it's just having an email list, right? Like, it's so many ways you can do the MVP thing. I don't think there is one right way to do it. And the cool thing is with Dropbox, their beta list grew to like 75,000 people. They got like 10,000 views in a day. And again, this is years ago, like over a decade. This was when getting 1,000 views was a lot, right? Like, now I know a lot of videos get thousands of views. Like, if you post a video on X, Twitter, then you can get 1,000 views in like a minute. But back then, getting 1,000 views was a lot. Like, that was insane. So again, in the end, the video turned out to be the MVP. So when you're thinking about MVP for your startup, understand that you want to keep it simple. The main thing you want to convey to your audience is what the product is, the benefit they get from it, and how they get that benefit. And when you can express that, whether it's through a landing page in words, through a webinar, if it's a short video, that is the thing that will build that email list, that'll build your user base, all of that stuff, right? That's how you get them there. It doesn't mean you have to go and build something fancy. You don't have to go and build a whole product. The simpler you keep it, honestly, the better. Another thing you got to know about MVPs is there are different types of MVP. Groupon used what is called the concierge MVP. And all this means is on the front end, it's like a landing page. But on the back end, you're doing all the work. It's kind of like a service, to be honest. Like me being an agency owner right now, it feels like agency work, you know, which isn't a bad thing, but that's what it feels like. So what Groupon did is they just started with a simple WordPress website. People signed up and everything, and they wanted to get the Groupons. And so they were manually emailing the Groupons, whereas now, obviously, it's a bunch of automation, but they started off doing the work manually. And that goes into the famous saying, do things that don't scale. Obviously, when you have like a million people, you won't be doing the manual stuff. But in the beginning, that might be the thing you need to actually scale. That's kind of how I view the concierge MVP, is you're doing the service work that you have to do to set the foundation. But once you build the trust, you know, you show people that it actually works, they're getting clear benefits from whatever the software is, now they want to work with you and you add more revenue, then you can add more employees and other people to make things run a lot smoother. Because with Groupon, their biggest issue was they had to get people to care about getting coupons from them, right? They had to get people to be like, I actually want a coupon. Where can I get a coupon from? They had to be top of mind. That was a big issue in the beginning. So not only did they do things manually, they also focus on local businesses. I think that's a good little tidbit here too that we can't overlook, because those small businesses are the early partnerships. This is a key thing in the MVP stage, is I think partnerships are really underrated. Sometimes the right partners, they may not be the biggest partner, like at the top of the level. Like if you had to choose your partner, like the best partnership you would have for your business, you might not go with them immediately. They're not the first round draft pick, but smaller businesses, local companies, local influencers, they could be the best way to start. Because when it comes to local businesses or smaller influencers, like they call them micro influencers, those are the ones that have a tighter knit audience, tighter knit support group and stuff. So they have that loyalty. And what you can do as a new business is tap into that. And then you get a loyal customer from there, a loyal customer from there. Now you're building your own loyalty customer base through partnerships. And this is really, really key in the MVP stage, because those are the kind of people you want giving you feedback. So I think it was good that they established proof of concept and stuff. But I think what Groupon did was really, really powerful, because they kind of broke things down to where they can use that partnership as leverage. And I'm going to do another episode of our partnership, but I just wanted to kind of point it how that was like a really key underrated decision. So when it comes to your MVP, there are a few key principles that I've read and learned about that I myself followed and have helped me so far. Number one, don't overthink it. Like, don't try to make the MVP this big, massive thing, because what'll happen is you'll put a lot of time, energy, money into something, and then people won't care about it. And that's just a trash MVP. That sucks. You know, your MVP shouldn't be a full product. If it is, that means it's not an MVP. You put too much time and effort into it. You want to have something out there before that final product is done, so people can tell you whether they like it or not, whether they care about it or not. You want to have those discussions. And I think that's number two, is to get feedback. I think when you set up the MVP, even if it's just a landing page, if it's a demo with a no-code platform, if it's a webinar, you want to really take the time to talk to people. For me, my goal was 50. I talked to 50 different podcasters before I put Pod Central on the market. I wanted to see what people liked about it, what they loved, what they didn't like. And the funny thing is, whenever you're doing these demos, you end up like running into all kind of bugs and stuff. It just happens. But that's a good thing, because again, it's the MVP. But you want to talk to 50 people about this idea. If you just got a landing page up, if you just record a video, talk to 50 people. Because I believe 50 people is such a good sample size, right? 10 people is nowhere near enough. 25 is like solid. But when you get to like 50, that's a lot of people. And it's going to take you a couple months. And after that, you'll realize just how much you didn't know about your market, how much you didn't know about your industry. From just going through like this MVP phase of like, okay, in the next 90 days, I'm going to have 50 calls with my ideal customer. I know that's like a challenging number, but I think once you go through that, you have such a refined idea and you find more ideas. You find ways to improve your ideas. It's just a win-win. And last thing, number three, is charge people. When you actually talk to them, they say they love it. You can have like a lifetime deal set up. You can have early bird pricing, whatever you want to call it. You want to make sure they can put their money where their mouth is. Because if they just say they kind of like it or it's cool, that's not enough. A lot of people will tell you that. Your friends will tell you that. Your family will tell you that. You need people that are going to say, this is so good, I'm willing to pay you right now, even though it's not done yet. That's what you want. When you can get people to start doing that consistently, then you got something. But if you just have people telling you things that make you feel good, that's a red flag. There's a lot of discussion about how much you should charge. And I think because it's so varied and vast in terms of startups, there's no specific price point. I just think you have to charge people up front so they know, okay, I actually got to pay a fee for this thing. And I'm committed to using this and being loyal to this brand and all of that stuff without just the wordplay. Because again, everybody's going to tell you the stuff that makes you feel good. You want people to take action. So there it is. I hope you have a better understanding of what MVP is. And if you're in the MVP building process, let me know in the comments below where you are on that. If you're listening on iTunes or whatever, man, I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning into the show. Thank you guys for supporting the channel. And got a lot more content coming, a lot of interviews, in-person interviews. It's going to be big. So thank you for supporting the brand. Thank you for being here. I'm Chris, and I'll see you next time.